Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, who just realized this may be the last episode we record before you two start the new school year. I'm joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are going to make these episodes a lot harder to schedule. No, school comes first. I'm just making a preemptive excuse in case we miss a week here and there. We are watching The Autobot Run, episode 26 of season 2. As mentioned by this week's guest, episode titles can differ based on the foreign country in which they air. Let's take a look at a few for this episode. In French, The Autobot Run was named The Neutralizer.
Straight to the point. Well, understandable.
Yeah, more focusing on the gadget than the actual run. In Germany, it was Who is the Fastest Autobot?
We'll talk about that one later. Pretty straightforward.
In Italy, it was Car Race.
Also straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Simple.
Japan, it was Stop the Transforming!
I like that exclamation point.
Mandarin, I like this one. Autobots Narrow Squeak. This got me looking up titles for other episodes that we've already covered. So Autobot Spike, remember that one? In France, it was named Frankenstein Among the Autobots.
That's cool.
I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Heavy Metal War. In Serbia, it was Battle of the Metal Warriors.
That sounds metal as heck.
That's pretty cool.
Butts.
Countdown to Extinction. In Mandarin, it's Before Explosion.
Yes.
And a Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's Court, one of the longest titles. In German, it was just Jump into the Past.
I like that a lot better. No need for the references.
Today's guest is Nate Cieslak. Nate is an artist, designer, builder, filmmaker, and co-worker. We've rambled about movies and TV for years, so it's about time we recorded one for posterity. Written by Donald F. Glute and airing on October 31st, 1985, spooky, this is The Autobot Run. Okay, everybody, we are here with Nate Cieslak. Nate, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Mike and Elsa and Emmett?
Hello.
Hello, and good. Yes, good.
In full disclosure, Nate and I are co-workers. And in our line of business, we have worked with Transformers assets in various variety of ways. But Nate, is this the first time you've seen these assets in motion?
This is absolutely the first time I've seen these assets in motion in about 20 years.
Okay, so you have watched some stuff before.
Yes, I do feel like it was probably in the Mighty Max block of episodes when I got up in the morning. I feel like they're probably still playing, but it was still very enjoyable. It might have been around the G.I. Joe time as well.
Okay, was it G1, like this series, or was it one of the later ones?
You know, I definitely remember Beast Wars, but I do think so. This looked fairly familiar. This looked familiar.
Okay.
So it might just be this animation studio created something else that I saw, but this was tingling. Something was tingling.
Maybe you're watching the Generation 2 version of this. Because later in the early 90s, they kind of repackaged these episodes and they sort of had this this really state-of-the-art for the time, this like, what was it called, Emmett? Like the
Cybernet Storytelling Cube or something?
Yeah, they had like these CG cube wraparounds for the episode.
You made something in a 3D program. Good for you.
Yeah. That's kind of what it was back then. It's like, well, we have a couple blocks kind of moving up and down. That's good for now.
All this chrome and reflecting on nothing.
Yeah, everything was like, just put a chrome skin on it and it'll look good.
It'll render quicker.
Yeah. So did you have any toys, Transformer toys growing up?
I definitely had a few Transformer toys, but I was more of a Gundam man myself. I like the actual building aspect of it. That was, and the painting. Definitely.
Emmett pushes me away from the microphone.
Hello.
Hello.
I have only watched one Gundam anime all the way through, and that's a a sequel series. It was good.
You know, I've seen clips. Uh-oh, here's the but.
But I have many model kits from all different series. I even have an RX-78 too, the original, that I'm planning to customize.
Oh, that is awesome.
Gonna break out the primer and spray paint.
You already are a true collector.
It was on sale.
Even better.
Well, we're not here to talk about Gundam. I don't know what that is.
We only watch Transformers. One more Zaku. Yeah.
If this series is popular enough, then we'll have to do the Japanese Transformer series, and that'll be another few years. And then, oh man, if we start Gundam, then yeah, we'll be doing this for decades.
What?
We need a little more than a little more ad revenue coming in before we consider that.
Do you have any Japanese listeners yet? I was listening on the one of the previous programs, and it was still at zero. So are there any?
Let's pull up Anchor really quickly.
I just looked at it this morning, and yeah, we have no Asian listeners at all. Yeah, nothing in Japan, Korea, China, anywhere. We have Madagascar, but we don't have Japan. No, we're still holding strong. After America, Germany is our 13% listeners.
Oh, okay.
Used to be Brazil, I think.
Yeah, at one point Brazil was like 26%. I have no idea what was going on. It was early on, so you know, you could listen to two episodes and you'd be, you know, one of the leading countries, but
congratulations, you are the only person in the world that listens to this podcast in Brazil.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
All right, Nate. Well, thanks for joining us, and let's get started. Today's episode is the Autobot Run, which is you could just tell by the animation style. This is an ACOM episode. This is the aforementioned Korean animation company, which, you know, again, like we said before, not to disparage them, but they do have a little more of a Hanna-Barbera-ish animation style, maybe a little more economical. And I think this one's okay because it's a lot of vehicles. I don't think there's a ton of complicated animation that they have to pull off with this episode.
I thought it was quaint. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the simple animation.
Yeah, I know all of our 13% of German listeners have heard me say this before, but yeah, I'm kind of warming up to this style because it's clean and it's like, I don't know, it's cozy. It's the cozy studio.
Speaking of your German listeners,
yes.
I was looking at the wiki, and the title for this is either "Who is the fastest Autobot," which I think gets straight to the point, and then there's a much more German title, in my opinion, and that is "The Secret Weapon." And that's very German, right?
Yeah. Well, sure. It could be the Autobahn Run.
That's much better. That's much better.
Well, this is written by Donald F. Glut, who we also covered in an intro before. He's done everything. He's
done a lot. A
lot of amateur films as a young man. He made Spider-Man fan films like in the 60s. He wrote the novelization to The Empire Strikes Back. Or Yoda is blue skinned, I think.
Oh.
And he's also written tons of TV shows and comics, and he's a pretty cool guy. Very interesting.
Didn't he write a lot of He-Man stuff too?
I think that's David Wise.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, he's the guy that wrote a bunch of that stuff. The Autobot Run at a racetrack where there seems to be Indy cars going around and the crowd's loving it. But and then we see Chip and Spike, who
in the best seats in the house.
Yeah. Are they kind of gate crashing? It doesn't look like they paid for a ticket.
I think they're gate crashing. I think they are.
Yeah. Or maybe like there's no wheelchair accessible seating in this arena, which, you know, shame on them.
Oh, that's not cool.
Well, it was. Was this the early 80s? I mean,
this is 85.
So when was the American National Disability Act? I'm not sure. Maybe that hadn't gone into effect yet.
Dad goes to Google. I'm sorry, Bing.
Well, don't forget, they have a giant robot friend that could plop them over a fence gate.
Like, <yeah.
laughs> hey, Bumblebee, could you lift us up and put us over the wall? Sure.
Yeah, he's not paying for a ticket either. You're right, Nate. The American with Disabilities Act of 1990.
See?
So, boy.
That makes sense.
Yeah, this is some of the time commentary. Poor Chip.
Right. Poor Chip.
And this is Brown Eyed Chip. The Acom Studios, they make him brown eyed. The Toei episodes, he's a blue eyed.
Which I like a lot better.
Yeah.
Because you have blue eyes.
But no, because it separates him and Spike.
Also because you have blue eyes.
No.
So Chip comes up with this idea to have the Autobots race for charity.
To have the Autobots do a cameo, basically.
Yeah, I know.
Did Chip create Cameo? But just...
I think so.
Don't forget...
Hello, William. This is Optimus Prime. I hear it's your birthday. Roll out.
I love... They definitely have the same promoter as whoever did School of Rock, because they were able to get all those people there with little to no notice at this charity race, right? They had this idea, and then a bunch of people show up.
Yeah, really? Yeah, there should have been like a whole 5-minute montage of them, you know, posting stuff around town. Come see the Autobots. And right, the greatest race in American history. I think that's what the announcer says later on.
I hope Optimus is all right with it. Yeah, of course he will be. It's helping the humans.
Yeah.
Anything for you, fleshlings.
Right. Well, yeah, it seems that Optimus kind of understands the idea of charities.
That's nice. What if he visits hospitals and shelters and just does like just transforms over and over again?
I want to see that episode, Elsa. That sounds awesome.
That's so cute.
He's like in the Memorial Day parades, going down the street and transforming and rolling over Shriners, and
throwing money into the crowd.
No, take it. You misunderstand. He's throwing dum-dums, the suckers, and beaded necklaces. Yeah.
The question is he throwing them with his hands, or is he just loading up those cannons and just raining
the cannons?
Oh,
the
cannons, yeah.
Right? Yeah, well, full of candy. Mean, it's
he has roller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we'll see.
And that one thing in his trailer that has like the turret and arms, so that could be like handing out an equal amount to every child.
Yeah, the trailer would open up and just start blasting.
Look out! Oh, it's candy. Wait, it's at high velocity.
Yes.
But you wouldn't have time to think that, because it would have hit you in the head. Oh, no.
Well, Chip and Spike's idea for a charity race is overheard by Laserbeak, who reports it back to Megatron and Decepticons, who are hanging out in like an old west ghost town
with the perfect music cue to go
I
along
know.
With it.
Yeah, there's only one time where there's like this kind of old-timey cowboy music.
The only thing it's missing is a good whip crack. Like, I really wish there was a whip crack, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. They're on a budget, clearly. The animation, they're on a budget, but come on. Just a good Foley sound effect.
I think the Decepticons are on a budget, because they've been building a lot of extra secret bases around the world.
Okay.
And, you know, they keep getting destroyed or infiltrated, or they have to abandon it. So, I think they just found this this old western resort town. Like,
we're set up here.
Oh, yes, this is perfect.
Yeah. Oh, my credit card was declined. My credit card was declined, and my credit card was found out to be a giant robot, not some guy named Bob.
Yeah, the credit card transformed and ran away.
I hate when that happens.
Megatron is ordering the Constructicons to build the, here comes the name, the Transfixatron.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, it's the device of the week.
I love it. It's a great name. It's a fantastic name. Transfixatron. I feel like that is the second piece of tech that Republican Senator Googled after Gaydar. Was Transfixatron.
What? We were looking at Soundwave. He has this weird animation error where that spot above his visor.
Oh!
His visor's not colored. It's the little thing above it.
And he looks very happy for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's...
Yay!
It's reverse boredom.
I love these Transfixatrons. They're like the Ugnaughts of the Transformers universe.
Oh, that's the Constructicons.
Yeah, yeah, it's a, yeah, the Constructicons. That's a great name, but they should be the Ugnaughts.
Yeah. I was just going to say that the Transfixitron is such a good name that they didn't even come up with a name for the device we'll see later in the episode. Right. Usually the everything device. Is very clearly labeled and named, but yeah, not this one.
Ugnaughts, you mean Ugbots?
Oh, yeah. Oh, even better. Even better. Wow, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Excellent, excellent.
So Megatron decides to test out the Transfixitron on Starscream, who whines through this whole thing. And
he's the guinea pigatron.
Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, I was not sure where this was going. I did not know if this was about to be an Ed 209 scenario. I had no idea what this weapon was going to do, so I would be afraid as well.
Starscream is, he whines all the time anyway, but for this time, it's he has justification. Because, yeah, like, I'm not going to get shot with this thing you just built.
Oh, in the background, was Shockwave always there?
No, never.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Again, later.
Yeah, when Megatron is using the Transfixitron on Starscream, we see Shockwave. Nate, he's the purple guy with one mm-hmm. yellow eye.
Soundwave's kind of looking at him like, "What the heck are you doing here?"
Yeah,
man?
This is clearly
up there.
Clearly an animation error because Shockwave is always on Cybertron. He's kind of like their liaison mm-hmm. back to their home planet. So he's always in his little laboratory.
And it looks like his cell was flipped because the
cannon
is normally on his left side.
Yeah. So he makes a appearance for no reason. He's not even supposed to.
So he's like normally like the Lobot of this universe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but he does talk. He's it's very, if you read the old Marvel Transformer comics, his character is a little different. In the cartoon, he's like, "Whatever you say, Megatron." But in the comic, him and Megatron are battling over leadership like the entire time.
They do not like each other.
Yeah, and even for a while, like Megatron is kind of brainwashed and he can't transform, right?
Yeah, because he was held by a gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
there's a whole
episode. And
Shockwave's
just like, "Huh? What's the issue? This is a perfect opportunity."
Yeah, there's a whole issue where Megatron doesn't remember who he is, and this kind of down on his luck 2-bit gangster finds him, and he kind of uses it to crawl his way up the criminal underground. It's awesome. It's a great episode.
That's fantastic.
Great
that
issue.
Great.
Issue.
Also, the 4-issue miniseries of the original Marvel comic, like, it ended with Shockwave basically killing everyone. Like, "Well, I'm the last one, so I'm the best, I'm the leader."
And the Transformers are all dead.
Yep.
And that was going to be the end of the miniseries. That's it. Boom. Oh. And then people liked it so much they made more, and glad they did that.
But yeah. It had a really cool cover for one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stop talking about the guy that's not even supposed to be here.
Okay, right.
And while Megatron blasted Starscream, he mentions that he can't transform back into his root mode.
I had a note about that. Yes.
Has that ever been mentioned before? That's really weird.
No, it's just robot mode.
Yeah, probably. Robot mode or vehicle mode, but yeah, root mode.
Or alt mode nowadays.
Yeah, alt mode, right.
Is this like the first episode dealing with like the base issue of being a Transformer, which is being able to transform? Because I feel like that's great. That's a great concept. Like these Transformers can no longer shift their shape. I think that's fantastic. Is this the first appearance?
It certainly is the episode that has dealt with it the most. I'm trying to think.
Because in Desertion of the Dinobots, I think, it was some other thing where the Dinobots were the spotlights. And
yeah, there may have
been
one.
Running low on Cybertronium, something completely made up.
Yes.
And Jazz was like, "Hey, I can't transform." Ironhide kicks him. Thanks, I think.
Yeah, there was an episode where they were losing their Cybertronian native energy source.
Megatron couldn't talk, so Starscream assumes command, obviously.
Yeah, but that just...
Well, Megatron's dead. My turn.
That made them kind of not transform, but also it like made them half transform and one of their heads fell off and they were all messed up.
So but that is like because they couldn't they couldn't find their energy, so they couldn't transform. This is somebody stopping somebody else from transforming. So is this a human rights? Is this a human rights issue?
No, it's not human rights. Well, it's not human rights.
Sure, right, yes, but it's under the, like, is this, are they slipping it under the radar under the guise of robot rights and they're trying to talk about a bigger issue here? Because I kind of love that idea.
You know, I'm not sure because we've talked about this before where there's episodes where there's kind of robot drones and kind of slightly lower than sentient Autobots and Decepticons. They seem to not care about them at all. They just, they'll just blast them away or, you know, kind of not respect them as living.
Like stormtroopers.
Yeah. Yeah,
like the Star Wars droid issue where it gets muddier and muddier with.
Yes.
L3 yes. And K2SO. You go, oh no, this might get really interesting really quickly. Or they could just ignore it forever, which would be more troubling.
Yeah, because we've been in episodes on Cybertron where there are like native robots of their home planet, but they're like, you don't count, and they just blow them away. Now, later on in the Transformers lore, we find out that each of them has a spark. It's like their soul. But it's never discussed in this series what makes them a living robot or not. So Megatron orders the Constructicons to start building the second device. And then we go back to the arc where Chip makes the case to Optimus to do the charity race. And Optimus says that they've been inactive lately, so why not?
I love it. Stretch the muscles.
Well, what did we do last week?
Last week, they were in New York. So maybe they were taking a vacation.
And what did we do the week before that?
The week before that, they were stopping the Decepticons from drilling to the center of the Earth. Don't you remember, Elsa?
Yeah, we should probably take a break. And now we should probably get back in the action.
Well, the Autobots think it's a great idea, except Huffer, who his only character trait is wet blanket. He's got that whiny voice.
Like, I told
like a waste
you.
Of time and energy.
I told you.
And Braun's like, who's asking you?
Punch.
Optimus orders them to transform and roll for the show. And we're back at the racetrack. Enough. Where, the announcer is certainly hyping it up. It's the greatest race in history. The crowd got, you know, I don't know if it's... It also could be, like, the same day. Like, maybe that race didn't end, and they ran back and came back before...
Don't leave your seats, ladies and gentlemen.
Pay more for charity.
Yeah.
Also, one thing, the announcer said, ladies and gentlemen, and our celebrity guests.
Yes.
Are they talking about the Autobots or like?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought they were talking about like famous people. Like who wants to come to this city? Well,
what famous 80s person would be at a car race in the middle of a day?
Wrestle? Like, without knowing that it was the Transformers.
Yeah, like Dean
Snyder,
maybe?
And it was just a coincidence.
Like maybe Axl Rose, because his name's Axel, like he has to be here.
I make puns.
I'm trying to think of a Cannonball Run, because obviously this is what the title of this episode is maybe based on. So maybe right. Like that, like down in his luck, Dean Martin, maybe.
Do you mind if I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
So one of the people in the audience is saying, hey, where are their cars?
Oh, yeah, that idiot.
In a very, like, bullying / teasing voice. Oof. And I'm not sure they know what a Transformer is. Did they see the signs when they were going to it?
Have you seen Autobot Day? That was a thing.
Right.
So, Autobot and Decepticon Day? Hey, where are their cars?
Yeah, we're 43 episodes into this series or like them being in this world, and I think someone who would show up to an Autobot race would kind of know their whole deal, but apparently not that guy.
There's a young boy next to him looking dead at the camera lens in a green shirt, and it's haunting. He's like, is he so embarrassed that that's his dad asking that he's just staring straight at the camera, breaking the fourth wall. If you scroll back, he is
back to that dead, please.
frightening. He's right next to him. You can't miss him.
Well, I would have put a note in it if I noticed, so
I didn't see it.
Let's see here.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
the dot eyes.
Yeah, he looks like Caillou with a wig or something.
He's horrifying.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, he looks like a doll. Yeah.
Oh, there are even more kids staring at the camera.
Wait, there are more.
Yeah, there
kids?
Is at the bottom. At the bottom.
There are two more kids staring at the camera.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, man.
It's so scary.
Yeah. I love the comb-over guy, too, near the bottom is quite exquisite. It's kind of amazing they took the time to do that. Everybody else is very plain. He gets a mustache, glasses, and a comb-over.
So you think this is a 50-50 charity race? Like,
oh, yes, I am betting all my money on Sunstreaker.
Oh, if they're betting? I don't know.
Probably it's not. It's a charity. 50-50.
No. Well, it's charity. They're still donating.
Yeah, but I don't want to...
Yeah.
You know,
how legal is this?
So the Autobots are off and they're showing off. Sunstreaker is zooming through. Jazz turns on his radio and doesn't play the typical music that he's playing. This song is called Cold Slither.
How did you know that?
Because it's one of two songs it's one of two rock songs that show up in the show. It's usually that other kind of, I can't even describe it, but whenever jazz usually plays on the radio. But yeah, this is Cold Slither, which has also been used in G.I. Joe.
Ooh.
It's from the episode Cold Slither, where the Dreadnoughts are disguised as a band named Cold Slither, and they perform the song Cold Slither, which is then becomes a mind control song.
I do love how the race car, which looks like it's based off of a Formula One car,
Mirage
says, "I don't like to show off, but since it's for charity," I love that. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Great character work.
He doesn't like to show off, but these are robots in disguise. If they were on the streets, he would not blend in.
No.
Oh, that's
who
true.
Has this professional race car driving to Kroger? No one.
So as they're racing, and as they're, you know, the show's very good at having their character traits kind of boiled down into one or two lines, which is it's a strength of the Transformers show, I believe. But as they're racing, the Constructicons are complaining that they don't get to fight, they get to build. And who shows up at Skywarp with a Transfixitron?
Right out of nowhere.
It.
Yeah, he just kind of pulls it.
And speaking of out of nowhere, that's one of the only times he actually skywarps in this cartoon.
Yeah.
Skywarping, but only like once or twice.
Yeah, it's a really useful power, but yeah, he doesn't use it very much. Another weird thing that Megatron mentions, beside him referring to it as their root mode, he mentions them being called Transformers.
Yes.
Is that a first?
Yes, this is a first. That's what the wiki says.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. They got two seasons and 26
episodes. We're halfway through the whole series. And it's the first time where they by name have referred to themselves as Transformers.
I could have sworn that there was one once before.
Yeah,
but
I don't think so.
Also, it seems a bit weird because they would most likely refer to themselves as Cybertronian nowadays.
Right, right. And it's the end of the race. And I thought this was just a weird bit of humor where they kick up so much dust where they don't know who won.
Yeah, right.
Everyone wins.
Yeah. And then they're like, well, what should we do now? We'll do a stunt show. Yeah, Sunstreaker has them line up side by side.
One of the least capable ones.
Yeah, Ironhide. Right, yeah. Yeah, the low-profile Lamborghini is going to jump over them.
I will say, though, I've seen a car jump a bunch of cars, but I've never seen a car stop and levitate midair.
Yeah, I don't think that's a normal thing.
Like, these people got their money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, because Optimus was really worried. He's like, Sunstreaker, I don't think you can make it.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
We're going to die.
Yeah, we're all going to die.
But yeah. Windcharger saves him. Is that like his anti-gravity beam or something?
Yes, something that should be used a lot more.
Yeah.
That would have been useful.
In car mode.
About every single episode.
Yeah, in car mode. As he could have used later.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, guys. It's nice knowing you. Hey, what the heck? I'm being pulled back. Yeah, that's just me. Old forgettable wind charger. Hmm.
That's very true. Yeah, the whole third act could have been solved by his power that he's using right now.
Could take apart machines by just using the anti-grav ray on screws and nails.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It's overpowered.
I will say, this stunt show would be a great, great moment for Mike, one of me and your favorite characters, Vorian, to show up. I really feel like this is a great episode for Vorian, that synergy to show up.
It's a long story, kids.
It's a long story, and one of these days somebody will make a great biopic about it. Hint, hint. But we'll see. You know, when you're old enough, you shall read the tale of Vorian.
It involves stunt shows, a transforming car, murder.
Oh, okay.
An accident.
Okay. Vehicular manslaughter, perhaps.
No, pyrotechnic failure.
Right. Okay, sure. That's what you said.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think it was her, like, it was like the husband's stepbrother. So who knows? I there may be treachery. Treachery may be afoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know. So let's move on.
Yeah, we'll discuss this in the post show. Well, I wanted to bring up one thing. When Sunstreaker says, when they built me, they broke the mold. I looked this up in Transformer fandom. Sunstreaker is one of the four major G1 toys that apparently the mold is broken on the toy. Broken. Ooh. Or lost or worn out. None of it's confirmed. You don't see a lot of reissues or remolds of these characters, but apparently the main four that people always mention is Grimlock, Wheeljack, Mirage, and Sunstreaker. That either those molds were broken or they were used until they, you know, wore out and couldn't be used anymore. But I don't know. The aforementioned Mirage, he notices that the Decepticons are attacking and the Autobots try to fight back, but they can't. They can't transform.
Looks kind of painful to actually try to transform, but not.
It does. Well, it does. There was one episode where Optimus was like injured enough where it like hurt him to transform, and Peter Cullen, he's like, yeah, it seems like when they don't have that ability, it's actually painful to them. But the Decepticons land in front of them, and Shockwave's back,
just
making his second cameo appearance
with the gun on the proper arm.
Yeah,
and he's shaking.
I know. Yeah, they're laughing and they just kind of shake the cell. And then Megatron clears the humans out by shooting I-beams.
He's a gun. He doesn't need that.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've seen that before. But he's heading for the Autobots in just like the biggest strut that we've ever seen.
The swag on this man is impenetrable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And these bumpers that play in between these things are also kind of amazing. That first bumper, he rolls up and just unloads. He's just spinning. Yeah. That's not accurate. It's very dangerous. What's going on with that?
Also, I have seen kids walk like that in the halls of my school. I don't know why, but...
do they call it the Megatron strut?
Yeah.
And actually, okay, so here's something I wanted to bring up. And this is, I think, a good time because the logo just flashed on the screen. And it said, The Transformers.
Yes.
And I will say, I've worked on this property before. I've used that logo before. I've never seen the word the. And my question is, how many times do they put the before Transformers? I mean, in the entirety of Transformers, I feel like it's always the, like, Transformers is the noun. It doesn't need the.
Yeah, these bumpers, they use it throughout the series. But yeah, you're right.
It's so small.
I went back, I looked at the shirts that I've done before. I said, oh my goodness, I've used this asset. I've never seen the word the. And I like was kind of looking it up online, and it really seems like it is dropped out of history. And it's like maybe just this show is using that.
It looks like the toys, the boxes for the original toys have the.
It's just okay. So small.
Yeah, it's a really small the. But yeah, because like the new logo, it's just Transformers, like the kind of the solid white or solid red, the more modern.
Like, even after this, it seems like they just started going by Transformers. Like, it seems like right after this, it started going by Transformers after this.
I'm going to guess it was probably a legal issue because they continuously have to either rename things or just create a toy and name it the name of a character whose name is about to lapse in trademark. Gotcha. They could not name anything Bumblebee for about 10 years in the 2000s. That's why this character Hotshot, who's pretty much like Bumblebee, they had to make a whole other character because they lost the rights to name a character Bumblebee. I will say that they can't use the anymore.
The.
Or rather, they had to like redo the trademark and they just dropped the, like the Facebook.
Okay, after the commercial bumpers, there are these weird ads.
Oh,
I was just going to bring that up.
Cigarette ad.
You mean,
cigarette what? Ad.
It's amazing.
Hokey cigarettes.
Hokey cigarettes.
New Year tires. What the?
The cigarette ad. It's the closest. It's the boldest. It's the most clearly drawn. So they can't use the word the, but you know what? We got our cigarette ad in this children's show.
They even have New Year tires.
Yeah.
Happy New Year tires.
You know, I showed a few weeks ago. I did show the kids the old Flintstone cigarette commercials.
I was about to bring that up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like they didn't believe me.
One to the kids. No, I believed you. I knew it.
Was it Marlboro? I forgot what cigarettes.
Camel.
Camel. It's Camel.
Joe Cool.
Yeah. Oh, I showed Joe Camel. Joe Camel.
Joe Camel.
Yeah. Yeah, I ended up showing those pictures
too. Joe Cool is Snoopy.
That's Snoopy, yeah.
Wait, Snoopy smoked?
No,
oh, man.
No.
Oh, okay. We're getting off track. We don't want to get sued by the Peanuts Estate.
Reject the joke.
We're sorry. Time to abandon ship. Bye.
Snoopy never smoked, but Garfield had a real pack-a-day habit.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
Also, there's an ad for Fenzoil.
What's that?
Oh, no.
It's like Pennzoil, like motor oil.
Oh,
there's Pennzoil. So we're back from commercials and the hokey cigarettes. And this is just kind of a brutal few minutes where the untransformable Autobots just kind of get picked off from the air. At first, they get their tires shot out, and then Thundercracker flies at them and hits them with an incendiary blast where they said it feels like I'm on fire on the inside, which is really disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
And then Soundwave knocks out their communications. So it's like just these helpless Autobots. And they're just getting blown up.
I do love how they all get flat tires, too. It seems like if I was the Decepticons, I would always go for the tires first. It seems
yeah.
like it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever end up being a Decepticon one day, make sure you aim for the tires of
go
the Autobots.
Go for the tires.
So they kind of march them back into the old West town, and we get back to the Ark, where Huffer is just like, I told you this wasn't a good idea.
It's the I told you so sibling.
Yeah. And then Braun just picks him up like, I've had enough of you.
And that's the most replayed moment in this, which actually makes sense because some of these don't make any sense at all. And then this one makes sense.
So what about this? Right after this moment at 12:33, a different Autobot.
I have no idea.
Who is that?
It's these weird flags, almost Union Jack-like flags.
Yeah, he looks kind of like Voltron a bit, like with the way the wings are.
He's a Voltron Optimus Star Saber Hound.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's
somebody's
odd. It's
made a
generic.
There has to be a bootleg of that, right? If not...
Hey, we're going to Chicago in October.
Transmorphogizing
we'll
Deformation Man.
Supposed to represent their transformation process data. So because then after that it shows a robot, then it shows a car, it just kind of shorthand. And a really weird thing, the next picture is the device we'll see later in the episode,
but it's purple and has very thin outlines.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know, maybe the animators are like, we just need three images of something to put on this computer to make it look like Chip's doing something.
Someone's kid decided to make that robot.
it does, yeah, because the like head's a little too big for the body. And yeah.
Can I just point something out? Not Wheeljack. He can't smile. Ratchet smiles for almost this entire episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even when he complains at the very end.
In contrast to his prime depiction and animated.
Yeah, he's usually like the grumpy war veteran.
I needed that.
So Wheeljack, Wheeljack and Ratchet are the they're the tinkerers. They're the scientists. They're the guys that usually have to build the thing to prevent the thing or override the thing.
Okay, okay. Huge fan of how his ears light up, or his systems light up when he talks. I believe it's a he. I think it's an excellent choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I do have the original toy of his.
Does it light up?
No.
No. Has there ever been an upgrade kit that had glowing ears for Wheeljack?
We're just calling them ears. We're not calling. Yeah, they are his ears. Referring
to
them
ears is weird to me.
That is true. His vocal processor.
Oh, Wheeljack look like wearing earmuffs. So they'd be on the very tips of those. Would they be covering those all of the way, or would they be sticking out?
I wish. I don't know, but I do wish those were earmuffs. Like, and he had a Minnesota accent. I think it'd be very interesting.
Or how would a xenomorph wear a hat?
We don't know where it would go.
On the beanie, all the way in the back, right?
Yeah.
in the front, one long one, one in the middle.
The really long hat.
Really long hat. Or just however many to match the head size.
Like, yeah.
All right, you're,
like a Spaceball style.
Yeah.
You have three hats.
The mouth, the little mouth that pops out, has like a little spinner on the hat.
Yeah.
Like a beanie.
A beanie, yeah, a little propeller on the top there. Yeah.
So Wheeljack's on the case to think of a counter ray. We get back to the old West town where Megatron kind of throws some shade at the Constructicons. He's like, this new device, which is ever so lovingly constructed by the Constructicons. Because, you know, they tend to complain about, you know, their primary function. They don't like it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, they're like, oh, thank you.
Finally.
It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of equipment. It's a very H.R. Giger or like a Rick and Morty kind of styled machine.
It is.
You know, like, is Giger in one of those Constructobots forever, his soul trapped just to do meaningless tasks?
Yeah, it's weird because it has like unnecessary tentacles by the mouth. It's very Sarlacc pit-ish.
Very Sarlacc
pit. Kind of the mouth, but then there's this like this randomly flaying claw.
It might not be for any use, but we all agree that it looks cool, right?
Yeah.
I gotta say, like, if this is how my, you know, Decepticon condo is gonna look, I'm going Team Decepticon. Not gonna lie, that, like, if that's who's designing my living space, I'm going with that team.
It'll have to be purple, but there'll be a lot of spikes and kind of like weird glowing spheres around it. But
and you might be eaten by it.
It may try to kill you too.
It looks like I'd be living with Invader Zim possibly as well. Like, you might just be there.
Speaking of weird, the Decepticon body shell.
Yeah.
That's Megatron. That's not a Decepticon, that's a missile.
Yeah, the thing that they throw into it to kind of demonstrate the crushing, compacting power of it. Yeah, it's a Decepticon body shell, which is like, I don't know what that means.
Oh, this guy died on the way.
Yeah, is it a dead body? Is it an empty shell that they'll try to make a drone out of?
Oh, this guy died during the events of Beast Wars.
Yeah, or like in between episodes. We're back at the Ark, and they're building a grenade. Like a
grenade.
A bomb.
Wow.
And they're building they could have been building anything, but nope, they're building a bomb.
Yeah, we have to make it in the shape of a grenade. And we see right before we come back here, what Hound sends this sort of telegram message to let the crew back at the Ark know where the rest of the team is.
Guys, look, it's a portal.
Yeah.
Steps through it. No, it's a hologram.
Yeah, right, right.
Wait, I know where that is.
And for one shot, the Ark is green instead of gold. Or Teletran 1.
Yeah.
Is green instead of gold.
Hmm?
But they're able to find the location. The old West town with a hardware store and a church and a glass store. We'll see you later.
Shockwave, what are you doing? You have one job. Take out those communication arrays. Come on.
Well, Soundwave actually he notices Hound projecting the hologram, and he just shoots him. So now we've seen the Decepticon body shell gets compacted, and then Megatron he elects to throw in the quote talkative Ironhide, which I've never thought that was one of Ironhide's main traits, but I guess so. So he's the first to die. And the Autobots try to put up some fight with their flat tires, but
Windcharger.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where Windcharger's power could have came in handy.
Stalling a little bit, man.
But Ironhide just kind of is resigned to it. He's like, later, guys. It's been great knowing you.
Okay, this is where I end, and I'm not even going to fight back. I'm just going to let them take
me. Yeah.
Well, the Decepticons won this time. There are guys at the Ark, but we're dead.
Back at the Ark, Wheeljack's showing off his grenade.
Look at this.
Huffer complains. and then we go to commercial two, where Ironhide is being lowered into the device, and it's his nice little detail where his muffler falls off. Mm-hmm. And yes. Falls into it first.
Yes.
Gimmick in the studio series one.
Does it?
I mean, the muffler turns into the guns.
Oh, okay.
And really odd commercial bumper music because of the music dire situation.
Different. Yeah, the music is different in these commercial bumpers than any other time. I don't know why.
Yeah.
A dire situation.
I guess.
So, there's nothing that punctuates a dire situation more than the sign in the background that just says, cow. And he's being lowered into his death. Sonata cow, 3 and cow.
Cow.
Oh, yeah. And
the cow says, sorry, I guess this is the end. Nice knowing you.
Well, this kind of goes off of last episode, where the Autobots are in New York City and every building is labeled, but like with gibberish. It's just all over the place. Like, it's just words.
One of them,
like,
says banana.
Yeah, it just says banana, bishop, casino. But in this one, in this town, they continue that tradition. Yes, there's a building called Cow. There's a building called Sonata 3. So out comes Roller, which I believe is the... I think this is the final time we'll see him in the series. And he's without R2-D2 sound effects. Usually, as you may notice, Nate, there's a lot of weird Star Wars sound effects in this episode where they take off and they sound like the Millennium Falcon or usually X-Wings fighters. And TIE fighters. Yes. Yeah. I don't know why, but that is all throughout the series. So Roller's causing mischief, and then Optimus takes the opportunity to just drive right into the device.
Which, fantastic.
Ironhide was not over the...
Yeah, he would have just have fallen in.
Ah, oh no! Oh, whoops.
Yep. And then the ARC crew arrive with their grenade, and this really weird animation of Wheeljack running through the desert.
It's so weird.
A Spike gets shot, though.
Yeah, Spike gets shot at. Yeah, but then it's kind of this very smooth running animation for Wheeljack, and then the kind of overhead shot where he's being blasted at.
You expect him to stay still, speed that up, and have some bongos playing.
Yeah.
And then Starscream teleports.
There are some character animation errors with the jets, for sure. The grenade goes flying, and Spike makes this, like, 8-foot... vertical leap.
I mean, he plays football with a custom jersey.
Yes.
Called Spike.
Soundwave awkwardly runs at him and starts blasting at him, and then he throws
Wheel
it towards
Chip.
What did you call him? Wheel?
I'm not gonna say it because I was actually I was gonna applaud the 80s for calling them Chip. Listen, at the beginning of this episode, if you were to tell me, listen, the Autobots race, and this person in the wheelchair is going to jump and grab a grenade. Oh my goodness, that's a great selling line. Oh my, I want to see this. I want to see this. Everybody should see this.
Chip is the underrated MVP of this whole series, I think. He's always clutch. He always, despite his wheelchair, he always risks everything, including where he stands up, and we don't know what kind of condition he has, but it's mm-hmm. enough where he's able to get up, catch a grenade, and then he just books it down the cliff.
Mac and me style. Mac and me.
I know.
Like, it's kind of great. You can totally, like, slip that clip in seamlessly.
And then he's just bouncing down.
He's bouncing down the hill, and then
Another
Ravage
trait.
Just spears him.
Another
just
trait
and kills
takes him.
Him
out.
I shouldn't be laughing at this.
Well, the funny thing And Nate, I'll have to send this picture to you. I think I did before. It's been a while, but in episode 3 of the Transformers, no, episode 5. It's an episode called Roll For It, where it's the first time we see Chip.
I know what you're going to talk about.
Ravage, you know, he sees the Robot Panther. He breaks into to Chip's house, and he grabs him by the wheelchair and just flies out the front window.
So and Chip's still sitting up straight while he just is soaring out the window.
There's a shot, yeah, this giant robot panther with a wheelchair-bound teenager in his clutches, and he's flying out the front window of a nice suburban home.
I know I shouldn't be laughing at this.
It's just shocking.
It's shocking, and everybody knows the mortal enemy of robot jaguars or panthers is the wheelchair. It's not the person in the wheelchair. It's just the wheelchair for whatever reason. It's like a cat and a cucumber. They do not mix. All right?
Yeah.
we see Chip being the ever the hero. He gets knocked over by Ravage, but he throws a grenade, which causes the afflicted Autobots to transform. And then Megatron gets scared, and he orders the formation of Devastator. So yeah, Nate, did you know that the Constructicons had this power, the secondary transformation?
If I could bottle the glee in myself when I saw these things get together and form an even bigger robot, I wish I could sell it. I wish I could sell it. I'd be a billionaire, because this was excellent. This was excellent. Excellent choice. And it only makes sense that the people that build stuff also have this little trick up their sleeve. They can build themselves. You know, yes. know thyself. I'm sure all these Constructicons have been through years of therapy to do this. It's very heartening to see. I really appreciate it.
That makes me so happy, because we have mentioned that the Devastator is kind of like he shows up a lot. He's kind of the like, we need to sell this toy.
Very expensive back then.
Very expensive. Yes. Comes in a six pack. And also, this studio, he appears in every episode that they have produced. And
they just love him.
So I think this is more them reusing animation footage where they can, being that they are a more economically minded studio. Also, you just get a lot of Devastator, and we see him wrecking house. He picks up Cliffjumper and throws him. He has finger beams. There's that cool shot where they're marching toward him, and you just see his shadow overcast the Autobots.
He switches between.
He swipes them aside. He picks up Ironhide and Optimus and just throws them like little toys.
Buy them now. He switches between visor and eyes.
Oh yeah, they can never get his eyes right. It's different almost every shot.
Is the Constructicons the only union of the Decepticons? Is there another workers movement, or is this the only union they can get together? They're like, listen, we can do this every once in a while, but we're not going to do this every time.
So far they are. There will be more.
On the Autobot side too.
Yep.
They would win, right? They would just win if they're just like, listen, this Transformers huge. Like, there's no way the Autobots could ever win, right?
The Autobots have Omega Supreme. He's a rocket.
Yeah,
he's a rocket and a tank.
Yeah, yeah. He's not a combiner.
And a train track.
But yeah, he's basically a train and a space shuttle.
That's pretty sweet.
That's another one. That's Astro Train, who is a triple changer.
It applies to Omega Supreme too, if you think about it.
Yeah, he's a tank train and rocket separately, and then Astro Train's a shuttle and train. Yeah.
Yes, that is something I noticed before.
I do just want to point out this gag where Optimus and Ironhide get thrown into buildings, but they completely avoid the glass store.
Yeah, that's good. Yes. Good aim.
That just is labeled glass, and they don't fly into it.
Big Glass paid for this episode, so yes. they had to make sure that their assets were protected.
Right. Cliffjumper and Wheeljack hit Devastator with the Transfixatron, because their idea, which is very logical, that it will break them apart and transform them back into their vehicles. And it works. And it works so well that Megatron is shook. He's like,
they've beaten Devastator.
frozen in shock. What the? Let's go.
I mean, kids, last week, Megatron was beaten by a New York street kid in a can of spray paint.
Which looks really deadly to him.
Yeah.
May have had a lot of lead in it.
Yeah, he lifted the panel and sprayed it in his insides.
Then you get Marvel Comics Wind Charger, or at least what looks like a Marvel Comics Wind Charger.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this group shot. There's this group shot at the end of all the Autobots, which is really cool. And yeah, Wind Charger is not colored according to the toy. So yeah, basically the episode kind of wraps up where the Decepticons retreat. They fly away. Ironhide and Trailbreaker have the duty of blowing up the Transfixitron, and they shake hands once they do it.
I wish they would have did the from the Predator the hand.
Yeah, the clutch.
The clutch. Yes, that's definitely what they should have done.
And then it just ends with Ratchet complaining about all that he's gonna have to repair everybody.
And repairs. And then like they're all lined up.
Yeah, they're lined up. Chip and Sparkplug laugh at him. And
a lot of the episodes seem to end with someone laughing.
You mean Chip and Spike.
Chip and Spike laugh at him, and that's the end of the episode.
Sparkplug is nowhere to be seen.
And so why can only one fix the other ones? You know, it seems like there's not a whole lot to do if they're not fighting Decepticons. Maybe they could work on themselves or each other, you know.
There's not a lot of balance with Ratchet.
Yeah, really, it's just kind of like Ratchet and Wheeljack. They're the kind of ones that just kind of take care of it. I don't know. Sometimes Chip's dad, Sparkplug, is there.
Spike's dad.
Oh, my God. Sometimes Spike's dad, who's... Sometimes Spike's dad, Sparkplug... You talked over me!
We're keeping this in.
Sometimes Spike's dad Sparkplug is in there, and he'll help them repair the Autobots too. He's learning.
Is he like an old car man? Old?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes. Yep. Oh, definitely. Excellent. Is there a mustache involved by any chance?
Sadly, no.
No
facial hair at all.
Oh, no. Man. He just kind of looks like an older Spike.
Facial hair is forbidden in this show, except for that guy in the crowd. He can have facial hair, just not anyone else.
Yep. So that's it. That is the end of the Autobot run. So, Nate, as a guest, you get to give your 1 through 10 Energon Cube rating of this episode. So with the Autobot run, what did you think?
So I really, really enjoyed this episode. I thought it got to the core issue of what it is to be a Transformer. Just wish it dug a little deeper, and maybe at the end there is one of the Transformers who kind of has an identity crisis and just needs to be a car for a while and get out on their own and experience life, and then they can come back and decide if they want to be a Transformer or not. But that being said, I'm gonna give this one 9 Energon cubes out of 10. I really enjoyed it. I'm a sucker for a good race, especially when the cars are not equal. I think that's awesome. I think that's real fun. This gave me hope. It's an uplifting episode, I would say. So yeah, 9.
I know we've mentioned the Marvel Comics a lot this episode for some reason, but if you want to read about a Transformer having that crisis, that book is for you. He even kind of falls in love with a human girl along the way too.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as that sounds fantastic, I think I really just need to see the Michael Bay version of that. I need to see action version, a love story like Pearl Harbor, the greatest love story of our generation. I need it. I mean, listen, Pearl Harbor came on 2 VHS tapes, kids. 2. Because there was... It was so powerful. So I need this, and I'm just going to go ahead and say I would love to see Wesley Snipes as a human character, because I feel like he does need some like character building in his life. And yes, you know, I may read the comic, but I'm going to hold my breath for that Michael Bay movie.
Oh, no.
Well,
Nate, stop. Stop.
We need you to finish the episode. We have a format much better, and it's in Bumblebee and Rise of the Beasts, which is coming out next year. Okay. And those movies are way better.
I did like Bumblebee.
Oh, Bumblebee was... Oh, that was... Yeah.
I love me some John Cena. I love how he's the first person that points out that their name is Decepticon and they might not be that trustworthy. Huge fan of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm game. Tears were shed. Dad's tears.
I remember being in the office when that trailer came out, and kids, I saw your dad openly weep in front of many, many people. It was intense and slightly uncomfortable. But
speaking of which, he has Brawn, someone who appeared in this episode, in a Bumblebee interpretation.
I do. Yeah, they made toys of all the guys in the beginning of Bumblebee that appear on the screen for like 2 seconds. And I got one.
It's pretty cool. RC, Ironhide, Ratchet, Wheeljack, even.
It's awesome. I love
that. That was a cool scene.
A lot of key players in this episode.
Elsa, what did you think of the Autobot run?
8 out of 10. I would say 7, but because one of the signs said cow, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Kind of reminds me of me playing Stardew Valley, and one of the shops just says animal. Oh, okay. I know what I buy here. Yeah, I really liked the plot, and I know that the transforming thing has been done a lot, and like, it's been done a couple times. In the future, like a couple
like
other
in
shows.
Other series, this kind of becomes a trope. There's at least one episode where they can't transform.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Transformers Prime episode with it too.
Oh, that is yes.
Isn't there like the Beast Wars episode where the longer they're in beast mode, they kind of forget that they're robots and they start reverting back to like their animal instincts.
Yeah,
that's a fun episode.
That's fun.
And they just start growling at each other.
Megatron has a hunter gun. He has a shotgun.
He is, yeah, he's like a big game hunter, yeah.
Well, anyway, my ranking.
Yes, go ahead.
I would say 8 out of 10 as well. I'll put aside the animation errors.
Yeah.
Because this episode was something unique. Because it had weird machine designs, skywarping.
Right?
Meow, meow.
Yes, I will agree. I will go with 8. I remember when I was watching at the end of the episode where Ratchet's, you know, complaining about repairing everybody. I'm like, how did we get here? How did we get to this out in an Old West ghost town, a giant purple Sarlacc? And it began with race cars at a racetrack. And that's those are my favorite Transformers episodes. And, you know, Nate, we've had a lot of when we have guests on, they're like, I can't believe how much was packed into the 22 minutes. And there have been a few where it's like, actually, this could have been shorter. Usually these things are just packed with plot and
new toys.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Buy it now.
Basically toy commercials that have story.
I said no.
But I think this one achieved the goal of cramming tons of stuff in there and having a lot of good characterization. And it was just fun. It was just a fun episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So, yeah, we should wrap up. Nate, thanks for joining us. Do you have anything you want to plug, promote, or any suggestions of what to watch or listen?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and plug my production company, The Coin. We do some cool videos and sometimes art shows when that is a more feasible thing. It's been a lot of fun. It's been very rewarding. And other than that, you know, I just want to tell you, kids, you better make sure to smokey your Hokies or else, you know, we got to pay for these episodes. All right. We got to move these Hokies. All right. So, yeah, get to it.
It'll be our new sponsorship. Well, on the note of your production company, you know, I do just want to say it's very cool. You know, we've known each other for a long time and seeing you kind of go into filmmaking. It's very cool and your stuff looks great and you're showing a lot of promise and it's very cool to see you know when you post something on your Instagram, it's like, oh dang, that looks great. Good job, guys.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I definitely could not have grown this interest if it wasn't for our hours long diatribes of movies at work that used to take place when we weren't all working remotely.
Yeah, those it's a little different typing it, but
yeah, those are some of the most cherished discussions I've had. And I will, like, honestly, WB, if you are listening, we are sitting on a gold mine of ideas. Hire us, because we can write you, we can write you the best Superman script ever. We can absolutely get that Batgirl movie back on track.
We can make a Transformers love story.
Oh yeah.
You know what? We can absolutely do that. The only thing we can't do is figure out your Ezra Miller problem. That one is just gone. Just get rid of that and come and see us, and we're going to make you millions of dollars. That also goes for Disney. We've had plenty of ideas. I'm still pushing my Willow Hood movie. I think there is a full-length Star Wars Willow Hood movie.
At least a Disney Plus special.
At least a Disney Plus special. You guys are just giving out this money anyway. Let us see the trials of Willow Hood.
Especially now since they've retconned of what he's holding is actually like a portable safe.
Exactly. Exactly.
So who knows what's in there?
I have written a treatment for that. I'm not kidding. I have written a treatment for a Willow Hood. I would say 40, like a short. It can be, honestly, yeah. They should do more shorts. They should just do a show of shorts that's not animated. I like the vision. Star Wars Visions was great, but let's see a live action, just 45 minute stories. That'd be great.
Just,
yes, please.
The agony of Dengar.
Oh no. I want to see the bachelor party of Dengar.
when he got married and
Boba Fett
books,
was his best man.
Yep, that happened in a novel, kids.
I want to see
that. Perfect teeth, his best man. What? Yeah. My speech. Yeah. I am Boba Fett. I am Boba Fett. I am Boba Fett.
What?
IG-88 takes over the decks. He's the DJ. Watt Tambor comes in. He gets the whole party hype.
He's dead.
is Watt Tambor dead? Is he canonically dead?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's on the floor in Revenge of the Sith.
Again,
end the show before you know what you're going to start talking about Amphibia. Okay.
Remember, Nate, good Smokey Nate. The Hokies.
Yeah. All right, Nate, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you all next week on an all new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, One More Prime.